I'd like to spend a little time this evening looking at this wonderful passage, the announcement by Gabriel to Mary. I'd like us to just begin with this, noting this first thing. The Lord's special choice of Mary. The Lord's special choice of Mary. If you know the Bible well, I'm not assuming everybody does, but if you know the Bible well and you've read it, and I would strongly encourage you to read the Bible. The Bible is full of prophecies, promises, future descriptions in the Old Testament of the Saviour who's going to come. He is the promised king. He is the prophet greater than Moses. He is the Messiah. He is the servant of the Lord. He is the one that God will provide for sinful men to come and be saved. And when you get to the end of the Old Testament, and we come to the book of Malachi, we come to a point where there are 400 years of silence. No more prophecy from the Lord. And yet we read in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, "And the Lord whom you seek will come suddenly to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming." And I've just read to you Luke chapter 1. And after 400 years of silence and waiting, we come in the beginning of the Gospels to the moment when everything seems to be on fast forward and the purposes of God are accelerating. And one by one, so many of the prophecies of God are being fulfilled. And in the passage I read, in particular, we have this announcement. I almost wanted to just call this address the announcement, because it's the visit of the angel Gabriel to Mary to make, well, an announcement is doesn't seem to be enough. To declare to her and to reveal to her so many overwhelmingly great truths. But I want you to note at the beginning, perhaps it's an obvious thing, but the Lord sent Gabriel to Mary because the Lord had made a special choice of Mary. She has been appointed by God. She was chosen by God to be the mother of our Lord Jesus. This is a beautiful portion of Scripture. In fact, of all the Gospels, if you read the Gospel of Luke carefully, he crafts the narratives and the accounts. They are beautifully, beautifully arranged and written. Very powerful. The passage I've read to you is only recorded in the Gospel of Luke. We read in verse 26, "The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a virgin, and the virgin's name was Mary." And Luke is emphasizing in this portion that I've read, this peculiar act of God in sending this particular angel of God to this particular woman with a vital message. The messenger is sent from God. The message is from God. The recipient is Mary. Gabriel is one of the only two angels named in Scripture. If you look at your Bibles carefully, he comes up in the Old Testament and the New. I think it's over 500 years before he goes and he speaks about these days when he goes and speaks to Daniel. And in the previous chapter, we find the angel Gabriel speaking to Zacharias in the temple, announcing the birth of John the Baptist. And I think, I don't know about you, when you read that chapter, it's like we're standing on holy ground when we read that chapter. We're sitting and listening to the angel sent from God to speak to Mary about matters of such enormous importance. And it's such a humble meeting. It occurs not in the temple with thousands of people outside, but in the hill country of Galilee, the angel Gabriel comes, the mighty angel Gabriel comes to speak to her. When the angel Gabriel came to Zacharias, he said to Zacharias, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and to bring you these tidings." And I think it's right to pause to remember the great holiness of this moment. God spoke in various ways in the past by prophets. Here he speaks to Mary by an angel who from eternity past stands in the presence of God. And God entrusts this message to this angel who must deliver this message faithfully to Mary. It's a message from God. It's a mighty message. And Luke, as he introduces us in this at the beginning of this message, he emphasizes this point of the Lord's special choice of Mary. And he does it in a very subtle way, really. Unless you know your Bibles really well, in which case it's not so subtle. We're told that Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee. That's important. We're told that Gabriel was sent by God to a virgin, and that's important as well. And we're told that Gabriel was sent by God to a virgin who was betrothed to a man who was of the house of David. You see, Galilee wasn't just an accidental place where Mary happened to be. But when we're reading these chapters, great prophecies are being fulfilled. And in Isaiah chapter 9, we read of a day, we just sung in one of our hymns, was based on words taken from this prophecy. We read these words at the beginning of Isaiah 9, written at a time when Israel was fearful of the days of they were going to be taken to exile soon, surrounded by many enemies. And the northern kingdom, I think, had already suffered. We read this, "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. When at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterwards more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the land of Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles." And then we read, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." And these words point forward to a day of blessing. And you'll notice there, the land of the Gentiles, Galilee, is listed and mentioned. And here we find the angel Gabriel sent to the land of Galilee, to Nazareth. Also, you'll notice at the beginning of our reading, Gabriel sent to a virgin. And of course, these words echo one of the famous prophecies in the Old Testament, again found in Isaiah. In this case, Isaiah chapter 7. It's a great sign announced by the prophet from the Lord. Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign," speaking about events that are going to happen 500 years later. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And the angel Gabriel comes to the virgin in Galilee. And also, finally, Luke tells us that the angel comes to a virgin who's betrothed to a man who's in the house of David. And again, in Isaiah, even in chapter 7, the words are addressed, "O house of David," they're the people to whom that prophecy was addressed about the virgin who would conceive. And in many other places in Isaiah, we read of how God is going to pour out a blessing on the house of David and send his Messiah to the house of David. And he'll be raised from the house of David. And here we find it's not an accident that Mary and Joseph, or Joseph is from the house of David and Mary is soon to marry him, and this family will be of the house and lineage of David. And if you have time and you read the beginning of the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew, the writers go to great lengths to stress the line from Jesus back to David. All fulfillment of prophecy. And so you understand that of all the women in Israel, we come focused on Galilee, and we come focused on Nazareth, and we come focused on this virgin, we come focused on Mary, and we understand that God, who ordains all things that come to pass, and every word of his prophecies come to pass, that the Lord also had his finger upon this woman, Mary. He made a special choice of her and appointed her to be the mother of our Lord. She is beloved by God. And this is all of God. And in this encounter with the angel, the Lord explains the fullness of the blessing that he's going to pour out actually on Mary, and the great prominence and role that she's going to have in bringing the Lord Jesus into the world. Think about it. I'm very cautious in this sermon. I'm nervous in this sermon. I'll be frank with you, because many have gone astray in raising up Mary before our eyes and seeing her as some kind of super special person. Well, she was very, very blessed of the Lord, but she was a sinful person. We don't worship Mary, we don't venerate Mary, but we must observe that God greatly delighted in her and greatly blessed her. Throughout the scriptures, at various times, God uses men and women, sometimes prophets, sometimes disciples, sometimes apostles. Here we have an example of God using Mary in the particular purposes he has, and in a very important purpose, to bring our Lord Jesus into the world. He has a special calling and work for her. Secondly, this evening, I want to say to you that the Lord is with Mary. I don't know if you noticed that in the reading. It's very important. Gabriel comes to Mary and he says to her in verse 28, I think it is, "Having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favoured one.'" What wonderful words these are. "The Lord is with you." You, singular. He's speaking to Mary. "Blessed are you among women." This is the message from God. And this is of all of God's grace to Mary. When I use the word grace, I'm talking about God's kindness, loving kindness, an undeserved favour that she receives from God. God's good hand rests upon this woman. I don't know why. We're not told why, except it is of God's sovereign purpose that she should do this work and that she should be the one in whom and by whom he achieves his purposes. We can obtain no blessing from Mary ourselves. We cannot obtain grace from Mary. We should never pray to Mary, bow down before images of Mary, or anything such like. But let's mark this evening that Mary received much blessing and much grace from God. That is the message of Gabriel. And from the moment this is announced, the meeting with Gabriel is a pivotal moment in her life. The rest of her life was completely transformed and shaped by the news that she heard that day. She was marked throughout her days, and she'll be remembered throughout generations of women who have been born, as it says later in the scriptures. She will be remembered amongst women. She was appointed by God for a special purpose. Now, in the account that we read, Gabriel, I don't think he asks any questions of her. He declares, he announces, and he tells her mighty truths of God. And he goes through it step by step. And it's overwhelming if you start reading it. Perhaps because we're so familiar with it. Put yourself in the situation. I believe Mary understood and knew the prophecies of the Old Testament. But on that day, she is startled and shocked by the arrival of Gabriel at her home. Who wouldn't be? Yet because the Lord has chosen her, and because the Lord is with her, there's no reason for her to fear. Nevertheless, these are overwhelmingly significant events and statements are presented to her. Mark tonight, brothers and sisters, what great things the Lord can and does do with his servants. You know, there are great consequences for Mary from this day. When I said the Lord was with her, it doesn't mean that she had an easy, wonderful life. If you know the Bible well enough, you'll know that this brought almost straight away public disgrace for her. How was she going to explain the fact that she was with child and yet she was not married? Was she going to face divorce? Later on, when after Jesus is born she has other children in her own family by Joseph, I presume, you'll remember that they thought that Jesus was mad. There was much discord in her family. And later she had the pain and sorrow of seeing her own son as she stands at the foot of the cross and sees and witnesses him being put to death. She sees the suffering and persecution of the Lord Jesus Christ through his earthly ministry. But praise God, we find her in the beginning of Acts, we find her with 120 others in the upper room who have gathered after the Lord Jesus has been raised and after he's ascended. And we find Mary, the mother of Jesus, there also. You know, got here, what is the significance of our lives? It's not the length of it. It's not the ease of it. It's that you know the Lord and that the Lord is with you. And the Lord was with Mary. That is a tremendous blessing. Our great need is to have peace with God and to know and to be able to affirm, I know that the Lord is with me. I know that the Lord's good hand is upon me. I know that the Lord has been gracious to me because I have believed in the Saviour whom he has sent. If he is with you, then your sorrows, because you may have many in this life, you will bear those sorrows. And sufferings can be endured knowing that he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you, because you are highly favoured also. This is very important and practical and precious to every single one of us. And it was necessary for Mary to know and to be assured at the beginning that the Lord was with her because of the message that was about to follow. Now, Mary is told by Gabriel what the favour and the grace of God will mean for her in her life. He announces that you're going to conceive in verse 31 in your womb and bring forth a son. Surely this would have taken her mind back, would it not, to that prophecy that we were speaking about. There was a long expectation that the Messiah would come. It was a matter of when, not if. And she gets this announcement from Gabriel. And Gabriel is told, you are the virgin who will conceive. And it is your son, the child who will be brought forth. He will be the Messiah. But this will not be a natural birth. Perhaps sometimes we read that verse, I confess I have, a virgin will conceive and bring forth a son. There's an obvious contradiction in that. It is a miracle of God that a virgin should conceive. By definition, every woman who conceives is no longer a virgin, except this one. It is not a natural conception. She's not going to conceive by Joseph or any man. And she's told that her son will be called Jesus, which means Saviour, for he will save his people from their sins. But more than that, Gabriel now presents to her the truth that this son who will come forth will be so great. And here is the significance of his name, is the significance of the son who is brought forth. And not the letters in his name. It's but who he is and what he does. It's his person and his work. And there are words here which, again, I think we have to be reverent when we read these things and think about these things. He's described as the Son of the Highest, or the Highest One. It's interesting, in this meeting with Gabriel, this phrase is used a few times. Later on, Gabriel speaks about the power of the Highest One will come upon you. Here, the Son will be brought forth is the Son of the Highest One. When she goes later on to visit her relative, which I hope to speak to you about on another occasion, her relative Elizabeth speaks about the child who's going to be born as the prophet of the Highest One. And these are words of exuberance, or the greatest words that Luke can, or that can be, or has been presented here by the angel, that stretch to express the greatness of who Jesus is. Words cannot adequately describe. But the Son of the Highest does speak of his relationship not so much with Mary, but his relationship with the Father in heaven. And Mary and we are children of God by adoption, aren't we? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so with the Son who will come forth from her womb. He is Son of the Highest by right, by his very nature. He is eternally Son of God. That's the one who's going to be manifested. And that's what she's having to grapple with. And that's the information that's presented to her by the angel that day. And it's going to be conceived in your womb, Mary. And it's breathtaking to consider. We've heard it read so many times. She hears it the first time. And then the angel declares Jesus' title and his office to her. And he's telling her more and more about what it will mean that God is with her. Why the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. Mary is told that the ancient promise that was given, that there would be a king who would reign on the throne of David, not for 40 years, not for 400 years, but forever and forever and forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. That's what she's told. This fulfills a prophecy that was first given to David back in 2 Samuel chapter 7. The prophet of God told David, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, of the line of David. And I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That's what she's told. I mean, think about the breadth and the scope of what she's told by the angel. It's too much. One go, isn't it? I'm sure some of us have been in experience where we've had significant news, and you want to sit down and meditate upon it. This is on another scale altogether. This child comes bearing the office of king on his shoulders. There's no temporary kingdom. His kingdom will never be overthrown. And it's a spiritual kingdom. And his kingdom are people. And his people is his church. And this is what we celebrate together, that we are brothers and sisters, part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what was presented to Mary. Mary needed to know that God was with her, because she asked one question: how can this be, since I do not know a man? And unlike Zacharias, who was disbelieving and doubted what Gabriel said. Gabriel is very tender with Mary because her question, it's evident that Mary doesn't disbelieve, but she's struggling to understand. And if you read it carefully, I think Gabriel is very... he knows that she's highly favoured by God. He's speaking to one in whom the Lord has already purposed to achieve great things. And he is very careful and tender now with her. And he responds to her question and starts to speak of some of the deepest mysteries that can be spoken of. And that is, how did God achieve and do such a thing? Verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Those are beautiful words, you know. The Holy Spirit is given great prominence here in the sovereign work of God, which we understand to be the incarnation, the miracle of God, whereby the one who is eternally the Son of God was manifested in the flesh. And Gabriel speaks of, describes this as the power of the highest, the power of Almighty God, here particularly through the active working of the Holy Spirit, will come and overshadow you, Mary. You know, there are a number of places in the Bible where there is reference to being under the shadow of God. I'll mention just two briefly, but if you wanted to go and do a search, you'll find this comes up quite a few times in the Bible. And to be under the shadow of God is a place of absolute safety and blessing. The power of the highest will overshadow you, Mary. In Psalm 17, verse 8, David cries out, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings." Yeah, I hear what David is saying. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. I don't want to be exposed. And if I'm under the shadow of your wings, I am safe. I am blessed. Psalm 91 verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. One of our great assurances is that if we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the great blessing of God will be in his hand, will be upon you, and he will protect you, he will keep you, he will care for you, he will never let his people go. Now Mary will experience a unique working of God in her body, which brings forth our Saviour from her womb. Who can explain these deep mysteries? We cannot, but we can and we must say that God did these things. We must confess and testify to the truth of what's happened. Apostle Paul comments on this. Oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. We can never fathom the depth of the details of how God did what he did. But we must be confident and confess that he did this. This is foundational to our faith. And this is what's being poured out before Mary to understand. But it's going to have a very profound personal implication in her life. Soon Mary became with child. And she delivered Jesus from her body. That's a profound thing to say. More profoundly, I say to you, it cannot be said of Jesus that in sin my mother conceived me. Jesus is the exception to that statement of David from Psalm 51. All of us are born of sinful parents. Our mothers were sinners. And we bear the marks in our bodies and in our lives of the sin. We are born as sinners. Mary was a sinner. And yet in verse 35 we read, that Holy One who is to be born. The one who is to be born of Mary is holy and sinless, and he will be called the Son of God. No one else born of a woman is like Jesus in this respect, that the child was sinless, perfect, holy, perfectly holy. The purity and the holiness of God the Son was manifest in the child she brought forth. These are staggering truths. In that sense, in Jesus, we have a Saviour who is different from Mary, and he's separate from us because he's separate from sinners in regard to the fact that he is sinless, thanks be to God. Because he's sinless, he is a worthy Saviour. Let me conclude by this, thirdly and finally. Mary believed the message from God. She believed it. At the end of the message, Gabriel said to Mary, and I think this is part of Gabriel's tenderness, or God's tenderness through Gabriel. There's an assurance at the end. He says to her, with God, nothing will be impossible. He's encouraging Mary with these words. Having told you these astounding truths, remember this truth. With God, nothing is impossible. There is nothing that God has promised to do which he is unable to perform. That's what he's saying. There is nothing which God has prophesied and purposed and promised to do which he's unable to perform. There is so much that you and I are unable to do. In fact, truly I say to you, anything good that we do is only because God enables you or I to do it. We are weak. Which of us is strong? Put your hands up. No, we're not strong in ourselves. But God is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think. Mary is not some kind of super strong woman. But by God's grace, she believed what she was told. She had faith in the word of God that she received from Gabriel. That's wonderful. You say, how do you know that? Well, look at her response at the end. So brief and so telling. Having been told all that, Mary says these few words. Verse 38. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. What's that? I tell you, that is faith producing evidence of good fruit in her, isn't it? Did she fight? No, she was submissive. She accepted it quietly, willingly. There is a total submission to the will of God. Let it be to me according to your word. She obeys the commands of God. She doesn't resist or fight, and the accounts of what happens in the next days confirm everything that was said to her. It came to pass just as was put to her. She had peace. And she had much blessing. But you know, there is a principle that we should observe in Mary at the end. Faith in God's word always produces good fruit in our lives. And this is one of the greatest challenges for all men. Will you receive the word from God? Will you believe on him whom he has sent? Or are you unbelieving? Our Lord Jesus Christ stresses this regularly in his ministry. Beware of unbelief. Why? It's man's great problem. Because when a man shakes his fist of God and won't receive the word of God, he's not submissive, but filled with doubts and fears and discontentments and anger and wrath. And there is no obedience in his life, but rather his life is marked by constant disobedience. And not peace. He doesn't find peace, but rather he lives in fear of death and lifelong bondage to it. And there's distress and lack of peace. And there's no access to the full saving blessings of God unless a man comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And unbelief will rob us and robs men and separates them from the blessings of God. And there's no joy. There's no ultimate joy. In fact, the ultimate outcome and the ultimate verdict on those who will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, will not receive his word. The outcome for you and I, if we reject the Lord's word and we close our minds to his word, is a terrifying prospect of a judgment and eternal death. Now, I will close, but I said at the beginning, I was uneasy about this. I'm not here to preach the glory of Mary to you tonight. But God chose Mary. And God was with Mary. And God gave Mary faith to believe these mighty truths of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just before the angel Gabriel finished, he gave her one lovely encouragement. Indeed, your relative has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who is called barren. Elizabeth had been away hiding her pregnancy for 5 months. God willing, I'd love to on the next occasion to talk to you about what Mary did next. Because we're told with haste, she went to the hill country of Judea and she goes to visit Elizabeth. And what do you think Mary thought when she saw the promises of God fulfilled in Elizabeth's life? I tell you, thanks be to God for the truth that he brought to me through his angel Gabriel. More importantly, thanks be to God for the great truth of the message that she received, which was the Messiah is coming and he will be great. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Amen.